Genesis 40, beginning in verse 1. It came to pass, after these things, that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, in the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and this time to gather together and worship you and open your word. We pray that you'd bless our time together, bless our fellowship, and anoint this time, Lord, to minister to us and to speak to us through your word. Draw us close to you. Build us up. Admonish us. We love you. We know that you're here with us, that you're for us. We pray for your blessings on this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was, as I studied, thinking a lot about the prayer of serenity. Lord, grant me or grant us the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things, change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. I like that prayer. I guess a German theologian, evangelist wrote it. He came to Detroit for a few years. But here we look at Joseph, and we're going to see his interactions with this baker and this butler. But I want you to notice, first of all, the first line. It came to pass after these things. Look back in chapter 39. In verse 7, and it came to pass after these things. We see in the life of Joseph that his life changed. We remember that he was sold as a slave by his brothers. He went into Egypt. He was placed in the home of Potiphar as a slave, and that was his test. And he did it to the best of his ability. And once he made it to the top, then it came to pass that the wife of Potiphar cast longing eyes upon him. See, that season of his life, that test, he passed, and then the next one came. Something changed. His life was fluid. His life was in motion, and there was more to come. Then he was thrown in prison because he resisted the temptation and he stood strong, and the wife of Potiphar lied. And there he is in prison, another test. And he was the best prisoner he could be. And he made it to the top of the prison, as here he is taking care of the fellow prisoners. And then it came to pass that two more prisoners, he was going to interact with these people that would be key in the next phase, the next step, the next thing to come. And I think from this we can just see that life is fluid and life changes. There's motion. There's differences on the horizon. Wherever you're at today, things are going to change. You're not going to stay in that situation forever. Now, here Joseph is in prison. He didn't know maybe he would die in prison. But then things would change. But things don't stay the same. And life always is going to adjust. And I think that there were some things about Joseph that we can admire and learn. First of all, he made the most of the present before it was too late. See, he was placed in the house of Potiphar, and he wasn't going to be there forever. And yet, he wasn't going to have the chance to go back and live that section of his life, that time period, again. But he made the most of it then. And then he was placed in prison, and he wasn't going to be there forever. But he made the most of that time when he was there. And I'd just like to encourage all of us. Here we are in the present. We're in a specific situation. We have a specific residence. Some of us work at a specific place. We interact with certain family members, and we interact with certain people a lot. And things are going to change. Some of the people in your life are not going to be there for long. Some of the situations that you're in are going to change, and you only have a period of time to influence, to be a light for Jesus in specific places, in specific people's lives, only a specific amount of time. And Joseph models making the most of the time he had in the place where he was for us, because things were coming to pass. Things were going to change. And yet he lived in the present. And also we see that Joseph modeled the fact that he went forward. He was sold as a slave by his brothers, taken away from everything he knew. And yet he was placed as a slave in a house, and he went from there forward. Things change, and Joseph didn't live in the past. He didn't let the past keep him from living in the present. And he went forward. He made the most of the present, and he didn't let the past hold him back from living the best he could in the present. I like that. There's a lot we can learn from Joseph. I admire Joseph. Another thing I drew from this chapter and this portion of Scripture is that Joseph modeled this idea of coming to terms with the truth of his situation. There's certain things with, you know, in the prayer of serenity, Lord, help me to accept the things. Give me the serenity to accept the things I can't change. There were certain things in Joseph's life that were difficult. There were injustices, many injustices in Joseph's life, and he couldn't do anything about it. There were many circumstances that were horrible, being sold as a slave, thrown into prison. Here he is in prison. Not only was it an injustice, but now he's got to live a life as a prisoner. Uncomfortable circumstance, and he couldn't do nothing about it. There was many questions, I'm sure, that Joseph had. We're going to read about him talking to these two fellow prisoners, the butler and the baker, about their dreams. Joseph had dreams. And you know what? I think he knew the interpretation of his dreams. But I'm sure he had a lot of questions at this point. Sitting rotten in prison. Hey, God, what do you... I was supposed to have a position of authority in my family. And my family is gone. They're not here. I don't understand. And he had a lot of questions, and he couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't do anything to get answers for his questions at this point in his life. But Joseph models this ability to take all of that and just kind of set it aside, put it on the shelf, and live his life. I'm a prisoner. I got these questions. I got these injustices. I got these circumstances that I don't like, but I can't do anything about that right now, so I'm just going to set that aside, and I'm going to live today. And he models that in a wonderful way, and I think oftentimes we spend a lot of our effort and energy in worrying. We spend a lot of our effort and energy over things that we can't change. Injustices, questions that we're not going to get the answer to at this point in our life. And we waste a lot of our effort and energy. And then we don't have it left over to spend it on the things we can change. And we see Joseph set all of that aside, and he puts so much effectively all of his life and energy into being a slave, being a prisoner. He does it wonderfully. He puts his whole self into it because that's what he could affect, because that's where he could make a difference. Oh, that we would have the wisdom to do that. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Because anxiety is a waste of our effort and energy. It doesn't do any good. But it says, in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord. Prayer is a good use of our energy and effort. Oh, that we would place our energy and our effort in the places where it can make a difference and not waste it. Joseph did that. Here's all these things I can't do anything about. It doesn't mean that I'll never have an answer. Doesn't mean that my circumstances will never change. Doesn't mean that there will never be justice for the injustices that were served. But right now, I've got to set this aside. I've got to put it on the shelf for now, because there's something else that needs to be done. So he lived his life to the fullest and set aside the things he couldn't change. All right, now we're going to walk through the chapter, and we're going to kind of look at specifically his relation with the butler and baker. He was able to put things aside so that he could make the most of this encounter. And we're going to pull out a few things that we can learn from Joseph for our own relations with the people around us. First thing, we notice in verse 4. It says, "And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while." Here Joseph serves them. This Hebrew word is first mentioned in the Bible in chapter 39. Now I've got to find it. Speaking of him serving in the house of Potiphar, Egyptian for the blessing. Verse 4 of chapter 39. "So Joseph found favor in his sight, Potiphar, and served him." He had the first mention of this idea of service, this idea of ministry, ministering. And it's not like a spiritual thing as it is, just kind of a hands-on getting to it. Joseph was serving. He served Potiphar when he was there, and here he is serving at the jail. And again, I see he was able to do that because he was able to put the other stuff to the side. He was able to effectively serve. And here he is, he's getting their food. He's attending to their needs. He's physically, hands-on, serving these people. It's interesting because we're called to serve. Jesus told his disciples, you know, you want to be the greatest? You got to be the servant of all. Serve everyone. Jesus got down on his knees and he washed the disciples' feet. And he said, I do this as an example for you. Serve each other. Wash each other's feet. Get hands-on in your service of meeting each other's needs. Paul tells us, let each man not only look out for his own interests, but for the interests of others. We're called to this. And the idea of Paul and others in the Bible considered themselves bondservants, slave servants of God, of Jesus Christ. He's my master. And Joseph really learned this when he was sold as a slave. I'm owned by Potiphar now. I don't really have my own desires and my own wants are not to be fulfilled. I'm here just to do what Potiphar says. So he did it. But then he continued that. He was thrown in prison and he wasn't owned by the jailer, and yet he continued to serve. Even when he came out of prison, he continued to serve. He learned a lesson and he learned a lifestyle of service. That's what I see in Joseph. His lifestyle was that of service. Sometimes I think, I'm going to serve. I'm going to go and I'm going to spend some time and I'm going to set some time aside and I'm going to serve. And then I'll get back to my regular lifestyle of selfishness. But the Bible calls us to a lifestyle of service, where that's who we become. My life is no longer my own. I've been bought with a price, and I'm just a servant of Christ. And that makes me, because he calls us to, a servant of all. Just practically getting down, hands-on serving people. This is where we find Joseph. He was able to put all the other stuff aside, his own problems, his own issues that he couldn't change at this point. And he got busy serving others. And here he is serving the butler and the baker. He didn't have to. He was given the position to serve them because he was a servant. And he served. And I see as we go through some of these, kind of give a mental picture of what to look at. Joseph's hands. He served with his hands. Oh, that we would have hands like Joseph and we would serve one another. We would be servants, a lifestyle of servanthood. I think, too, you look at Joseph, and we can all agree he was a successful man. He was a servant in Potiphar's house, and he became the head of all the household. Here he is in prison, he became the head of the prison. And later in life, we'll see even more success. We see that he was a wise man. He had wise counsel throughout his life. And I think some of that wisdom and success, certainly the Lord gave him wisdom and success, but some of it was born out of his servant heart. A lot of people, you think, man, How did you think of that? That is brilliant. People, and I was just serving people. I was just serving so-and-so. I was just thinking of what I could do to help. And it just brought about success. It brought about a wise choice, wisdom in life. And I think a lot of his success and wisdom was born out of his service and servanthood. As we continue on, second thing, if you look in continuing in verse 5, he served them, so they were in his custody. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So here he is daily serving them. One day he comes in, hey, breakfast time, how you guys doing? And it says he looked at them and he saw that they were sad. His hands were serving, and now we see his eyes. He looks at them and sees that they were sad. I was thinking, you know, we all see different things depending on what we're looking for. You drive down a street. You can drive down that street 100 times. And if you're not paying attention, you'll probably pass up a bunch of stuff and never see it. Now, if you're maybe looking at addresses, you'll see a whole other street. See people's porches and addresses. Someone might say, hey, you know, my house is on such and such street. I've got a red Jeep in the driveway. You're going to notice every SUV on that street because of what you're looking for. And different people have different perspectives. Me personally, I don't look at people's clothes a lot. Sometimes someone will say, so what were they wearing? I don't know. A shirt? Were they wearing glasses? I don't know. Well, what were you looking at? But Joseph had a specific, he was looking at their countenance, their emotions. Most would have not noticed that something was bothering the butler and the baker. Certainly, I pass by people all the time and don't notice their countenance, their emotions. I'm not looking for it. Oftentimes, I don't care. But Joseph, his hands were busy serving and his eyes were looking. He had a rough life. And yet he was able to put that on the shelf and be focused and attentive and open to see other people's problems. He was looking for it. It wasn't just kind of like, hey, what's bothering you? Well, I'm in prison, duh. No, he noticed something specifically was different this morning. They had the dream that night. Hey, something happened. I can tell. Something's bothering you guys. He noticed. Because he wasn't all wrapped up in other things, he was able to tell. He had those eyes. I thought about Jesus. I was looking through different scriptures in the New Testament where Jesus saw the multitudes and he had compassion on them. Imagine the eyes he had. What he seen when he looked at someone. Looked into their eyes. He read them. He knew them. He loved them. Joseph had eyes of compassion. He didn't have to care, but he was looking to care. And he seen something wrong. That's what he was looking for. Oh, that we would have eyes, a perspective and a compassion in our heart that would look for things like that. You know, if Joseph was looking for a way to get out of prison, he probably would have passed all that stuff up. But he totally wasn't considering that. I'm in prison. I'm certainly not going to escape. Or this is just where I'm at. This is how it is. He was looking for what people were feeling, how people were doing. This is what Joseph's focused on, looking for. He looked and he saw that they were sad, his eyes. Oh, that we would have eyes like Joseph. Verse 6, it says, and Joseph came to them in the morning and looked and saw that they were sad. And so he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? why do you look so sad? Now we'll look at Joseph's mouth, what he said. You know, sometimes you do notice things. I've noticed things. Something's bothering that person. But you don't know exactly what to say, and you don't really want to get involved in the whole thing, maybe. But Joseph, not only was he looking for things, then he was inquisitive. What's wrong? He wasn't just making conversation. He wasn't just passing time. He wasn't just saying a cliche. How you doing? Good? No, he was speaking from a heart of compassion because he wanted to know, why are you sad? Again, I see this is for him to have all of the things that happen in his life and not say, hey, guess what happened to me? But to instead say, what's wrong? What happened? Why are you sad today? I want to know. His mouth, he was inquisitive, he cared, he wanted to engage, he wanted to be a part of it. The mouth, what he said, the words he spoke. Oh, that we would, that God would help us in the words we say. Words make a difference. Little comments can really affect people. They can really ruin their day, make their day, plant seeds. That can make a difference, draw them to Christ, or draw them to bitterness. And here, he was very careful and inquisitive, and what he said was for their benefit. He was a part of the solution in the words he said for them. His mouth. Next, we see as he asks, why do you look so sad? They said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Next thing I see about Joseph is his faith. I love his response. They say, we had a dream. Man, something about this dream's got us upset. He said, don't interpretations belong to God, interpretations of dreams. I see his faith in that because sometimes when I meet someone and maybe they'll tell me some of their problems, some of the things that have happened to them, some of the things that have happened in recent times, I would probably exude not much faith. You know, I believe that God can do miracles. I believe a person that is addicted to drugs, God can save them and free them. An alcoholic. Then sometimes I might talk to someone and, man, there's a lot of emotional and issues and guilt and family issues. I don't know. Good luck with all that. Not that I say that. But it's not that I don't believe God can do it. But, you know, my words, my expressions are like, man, I don't know what to do with all that. And what's evident is not my faith, but rather the fact that I am not confident in my own ability. I can't do anything to help you, and I can't. But what was more evident for Joseph wasn't his own inability. He was just a prisoner. What could he do to help them? But that's not how he was acting. He wasn't like, you can tell me what's going on, but hey, I don't know, I can't probably do anything to help. That's how I am sometimes. I'm not familiar with that. But no, he was, aren't interpretations of dreams God's business? Doesn't God interpret dreams? Can't God help you and your problem? Can't God do anything? You see that from what he says, and you could just feel that he was communicating that to these people. God can help you. I believe that God has an answer for you where you're at. Sometimes, though I know God does, I don't communicate that with my face and my emotions because in the little details of life, I doubt it. I don't think He will. Why? Why do I think that? Because I don't see how it's going to happen specifically? Because I don't know in my mind how to help? But Joseph, hey man, God can do that. God can help you. And his faith, you see his faith. He had faith. He says, do not interpretations belong to God? And again, it wasn't that he had confidence in himself. He was saying, dreams are my thing. I've had some dreams. God's kind of given me some insight in dreams. Lay it on me. I think I can do this. He said, no, it's God. Interpretations belong to God. Then he says, tell them to me, please. Here I see his heart. You know, it's not that he's just looking for people that are hurting and trying to say the right words. And he has faith in God. But I see that Joseph really did desire to be a part of helping them that day. That's where his heart was. He wanted to. He wasn't trying to do the right thing. Please, tell me your dream. Please, I want to hear. Because I know God can help. You know, sometimes I need more faith. Even if I know I can't do anything. And maybe God won't allow me to do anything to help this person. Just the communication that I know that God can help that person will make a difference. Instead of like, don't ask me. I think if the church, myself included, exuded faith. Just not just in words, but even how they said things. If we really did believe that God was the answer to everyone's problem around us, family, our coworkers, all the problems, even the problems that we're real familiar with, that have been there for a long time, that are just really connected and interwoven and a part of the person, we understand that there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. If we really did believe that God could do it, that God was big enough. Even if we didn't know how, even if we didn't know what to do personally, if we really did believe and we communicated that, hey man, God's your answer. God can help you. I believe that. His faith was there and he had that desire to get involved. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. I believe if we believed and then we had that faith, and then we were looking, we were asking, God, save people. And we were looking, who's hurting? Who can be helped? And we started knocking. What can I do? Please tell me. How can I help? I believe that we would find ourselves a part of God's plan, playing our part, working for God. We would be involved. Here's Joseph looking, asking, knocking. How can I help? Tell me the dream. It's not that he had confidence that he knew the interpretation. He hadn't even heard the dream. He just had confidence in his God. Oh, that we would have faith like Joseph, and oh, that we would have a heart of desire like Joseph. Continuing on, there's a few other things I'd like to pull out of here. If we pick up in verse 9, he says, tell me, please. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner, when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. And also, I have done nothing here that should that they should put me into the dungeon. So the butler tells his dream, and Joseph, by God's grace and because God opens his eyes and reveals it to him, has the interpretation. He says, according to that dream, man, that's telling you that in 3 days you will be restored to your position. And then he says, and when you are restored, he had complete confidence it was true, tell the Pharaoh about me. And I see something interesting in here because, again, Joseph put all of his stuff on the shelf. He put it aside. And then in serving others and making others first, here he finds a possible solution to his problems. Isn't that how it works with us oftentimes? When we finally stop trying and we give it up and put it aside, and we do what we can do, when we reach out to others, we find an answer for our problem. Again, if Joseph was just thinking, how can I get out of here? What can I do? He walked into the prison cell. Hey, guys, you got a file or anything sharp, or you know how to pick locks? Or he would have never have had this opportunity. And here we see a hint of what God's got in store. But continuing the story, in verse 16, we're just going to finish up the rest of the story fairly quickly. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. Yeah, that's good news. I'll tell you mine now. And there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. And the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said this, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Not so good. Wasn't a good interpretation at all. And what I see from this is that Joseph, and this is true throughout Joseph's life, Joseph told the truth. And even when it was the hard truth, even when it didn't benefit him, even when people didn't want to hear it, he was honest and told the truth. And I think we have a responsibility as Christians to be honest, even with the hard stuff. You know, we wouldn't do a service to the world to say, you know, God loves everybody and, you know, maybe I disagree somewhat, but I'm sure God is loving and he wouldn't judge. I don't want to get into that. You have your beliefs. You know, the Bible teaches and the reality is there is a hell, and that's not a fun thing. I don't like that. But to deny it or ignore it really does the world a disservice if it's a reality. Joseph told the truth. It wasn't fun. I'm sure he didn't want to tell this to the baker, but he told the truth. The Bible says that we're to speak the truth in love. And I don't think we should ever substitute, you know, comfort and maybe consequences to avoid consequence, telling the truth, being true to what's right and real. We see Joseph as an example of that. And finally, the rest of the story, beginning in verse 20. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again. And he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. At the end here, we see that though his interpretations came true, came to pass, he again, was able to put certain things aside and make the most of his encounter with these two individuals. Yet the butler failed him and forgot to mention him. And here he is in prison. Nothing has changed. Interesting. This whole chapter, from beginning to end, nothing has changed in Joseph's life. Here he is serving, loving, looking, reaching out, helping. And his own situation stays the same. But interesting, throughout Joseph's life, everyone failed him. Everyone failed him in one way or the other. His brothers hated him. wanted to kill him, sold him as a slave. Potiphar's wife lied about him, got him thrown in prison. His father wasn't able to protect him. His mother died when he was young. Potiphar wasn't able to determine the truth or be just in the situation. Not one person was able to be an example of unfailing in Joseph's life. But interesting, because we see something for us, people fail us. People will always fail us. It's not, our answer is not in people. And interesting, Joseph could have gotten bitter. I'm going to stop this loving stuff and serving stuff and reaching out. They don't give it back. But that wasn't what it was about for Joseph. And you know what? I'm glad that the butler forgot. You know why? Because it could never be said that the butler delivered Joseph from the prison. In Joseph's life, it was very clear who got the glory. It was very clear who was responsible for Joseph's exaltation. We'll see. It was God. He used people, but people failed every time. And he still had his purpose. He still did what he intended to. And in your life, if everyone fails you, God's purpose will remain and he will never fail you. His plan cannot be hindered. He's bigger than all of it. And he calls us to love, to put certain things aside, to serve, even when people hurt us back and don't respond. And he, in the end, will come through and he will do what he intends to. He'll be faithful to bring us where he wants us. So, oh, that we would have hands, eyes, a mouth, faith, and a heart like Joseph, like the Bible teaches us to have. That we would be a part of the solution in this world. And we would be able to effectively put aside all the things we waste our effort and energy on that don't matter, that we can't change. We would be able to recognize it, to get past it, come to terms with where we are in life. Maybe we don't like certain things in life right now, but this is the way it is. God is God. God is good. And he has a job for us to do right now where we're at. Oh, God, give us the grace and the strength to accept that. Not fight against you. Not buck. But just live life where we're at. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Joseph in Scripture. His heart. His service, his love. Lord, we pray that you would touch us this evening and brought your Spirit on us. Change us, Lord. Give us a different heart, that we wouldn't live selfish lives. We wouldn't fight against you. Lord, we know that you love us. We know that you're good and you have good plans. Life is hard sometimes. Help us, Lord, to just allow you to make the rules and give into your program. May we be like Joseph. Make the most of today. Let go of the past. Know that nothing is constant. Things will change, but only in your timing. Lord, we want to love. We want to serve. We want to see things the way you see them. We want to say things that will help, that will make a difference for good. We want our faith to be strong and visible for the world. We pray, Lord, that by your grace, you would make these things true. You would grow us and transform us by your grace and your Spirit. We pray that all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.